thanks for being with us here on the Rick Edelman Show. Here on the program, we often talk about your financial security and what can public policy do to help improve all of that. To help us enjoy that conversation, I'm very happy to bring onto the program Ben Ritz. He's the director of the Center for Funding America's Future at the Progressive Policy Institute. Ben, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
So one of the key elements of retirement security for most Americans, of course, is Social Security. But there are challenges that Social Security's facing right now. Talk about what those are and how these challenges are making it harder for ordinary folks to plan for retirement.
Social Security is a system under which current workers are paying for the benefits of retirees through their payroll taxes. And the problem is that with the aging of the baby boomer generation, the ratio of workers paying the benefits for each retiree is decreasing. So back in 2000, there were 3.5 workers paying for the benefits of each retiree. And by 2035, that ratio is going to fall to just over 2 to 1. And so what that means is that Social Security's incoming revenue stream is not going to be enough to finance the current structure of benefits without changes to either the revenue system or the benefits or both. And if no change is made before 2035, then the Social Security Trust Fund, which is the accumulation of previous years in which Social Security had surpluses, is going to run out. And at that point, Social Security will only be allowed to pay out benefits equal to the revenue coming in, which is roughly 80%. And so there's a possibility that in 2035, everyone on Social Security is going to face an across-the-board benefit cut of 20%. And if you're retiring today, that's just a little over a decade from now, decade and a half, you could have this giant benefit cut, and that makes it very hard to plan for your retirement.
It's also a particular challenge since so many folks are counting on Social Security for a very large portion of their retirement income. And if that income gets cut 20 or 30%, that's going to be a real problem for people being able to maintain their lifestyle in retirement.
Exactly.
So this isn't a shock. You know it. I know it. Congress certainly knows it. But at the moment, Congress doesn't seem to be taking any action on this. Why do you suppose that is?
I think a big reason is because, frankly, number one, it's difficult telling older Americans they'll have to accept lower Social Security benefits that they felt they paid for, even if the revenue wasn't actually enough to finance the benefits. That's a message no politician wants to deliver. At the same time, at a time when workers are struggling with so many issues, politicians don't want to then go to them and say, hey, we also have to now raise your payroll taxes. And there's a very big shortfall we're talking about here on the order of trillions of dollars. And so it's not a particularly popular message to deliver. And I think also the fact that the trust fund lasting for another 16 years has made a lot of politicians think erroneously, oh, we can just wait until 2035. And so it's not a pressing issue, even though obviously the sooner you deal with it, the easier it is.
Well, that's an interesting point, Ben. Why is that? I mean, why is it wrong to say, if the problem hits us in 15 years, why don't we worry about it in year 14? Why do we have to worry about it today?
So I think there's three reasons there. The first is that it avoids the potential for a cataclysmic result. I think that it's important to remember that if there is no action up until 2035, that 20% benefit cut is automatic, and Congress has a lot of difficulty sometimes with these big deadlines. And so there's a possibility that you just go over the cliff. And I think getting rid of that potential cliff is very important for preventing, you know, millions of seniors from falling into poverty when that happens. Second reason is that it provides certainty. If you know today what your benefits are going to be 20 years from now, that makes it a lot easier to plan for retirement when you have to be considering there's this plus or minus 20% out there that could hit you midway through your retirement. And then the final reason is intergenerational fairness. The general principle is that Congress tries not to cut benefits for people who are already on the program because it's more difficult for them to adjust. But the longer we wait to solve the problem, the more of the burden has to get placed younger Americans, current workers who have financial struggles of their own, as opposed to the sooner we deal with it, the more that we can spread out the cost each generation pays a little bit instead of having to shoulder the whole thing themselves. That's more fair, and it's also better economically. So those are the three main reasons why we want it to happen sooner rather than later.
And that would suggest having a conversation about it today, not just you and I here on this radio show, but more importantly, as a national dialogue during the presidential campaign. We've already had several debates so far. There are going to be many more throughout 2020. We haven't yet had a question on Social Security during the presidential debates. What one question would you like to see the candidates asked while they're up on stage during those debates?
I think the big question I want to ask them is how they plan to pay for it. Several candidates have put out some proposals for benefit expansions. Pete Buttigieg just put out one. Elizabeth Warren put out one a few weeks ago. And to her credit, she proposed a lot of ways to pay for the expansion of benefits she wanted, but she didn't really say anything about how she was going to close the existing shortfall. And in the process of making this big expansion, she used up a lot of the revenue sources that we probably need to plug the existing gap. And so I think the big question that needs to be asked to these candidates is not just, you know, how are you going to pay for new benefits you want, but how are you going to pay for the promises that we've already made?
So I guess it comes down to whether you're an optimist or a pessimist in your confidence level of whether Congress will fix the problem, how soon they'll fix it, and how effective those solutions will be and how much it will cost, either in the form of higher taxes or reduced benefits. So given all of that, since everyone's going to reach their own conclusion, Ben, about their level of optimism, what steps would you recommend our listeners take right now to protect themselves from the scenario where Congress either doesn't act, acts too late, or perhaps acts in a way that is detrimental to your personal situation? What steps should people take right now to protect themselves?
So the first piece of advice I would say is just be aware of the challenge out there. I heard a story recently by someone who said they went to their financial advisor, and the financial advisor asked them, do you want to plan on Social Security being there or not being there? And that obviously makes a big difference in your retirement plan. I think the appropriate thing to do is to plan on it being there. I mean, Social Security is not going to go away. There's still going to be something there. But to be aware and prepare for the possibility that it's not going to be as much as the current formula suggests you're going to get, because that'll just make you more prepared for if there are changes in the future. The second thing I would say is put pressure on Congress and the presidential candidates to act now. The sooner they deal with it, as I said earlier, you know, that gives people more certainty, and addressing it now will allow us to not have to worry about this prospective future benefit cut.
At the Progressive Policy Institute, where you're the director of the Center for Funding America's Future, there's a proposal that you have created, that the Institute has created, a rather unconventional reform proposal for Social Security. Tell us about that.
So the current Social Security system awards benefits based on income, and so that results in people who are higher income, people who need government assistance the least, actually getting paid the most benefits. That's regressive, it's expensive, and it leaves a lot of people who are in need short of what they need for retirement security. The rationale behind the system when it was created is that Congress and the president wanted it to be seen as an earned benefit program to make it more politically difficult to cut in the future. And while we certainly agree with that, we think there's a way to preserve Social Security's nature as an earned benefit program, boost benefits at the bottom, and address the financial shortfall. And so our proposal is to, instead of using this complicated formula based on income, change to one based on work. And so for each year of work, whether you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company or whether you're a mid-level manager or a janitor, if you put in a full year of work, you get the same benefit increase. And what that allows us to do is increase benefits at the bottom and keep it as an earned program while at the same time reducing the financial shortfall and improving incentives to work, which as people work more, they also have more time to save. And these are all things that can help address the financial shortfall.
I think there is no shortage of terrific ideas out there for improving and repairing the Social Security system. The key, of course, is getting Congress to act. And I think that is the effort that a lot of us are taking. It's been a big focus of our coalition, the Funding Our Future Coalition, which the Progressive Policy Institute is a member of. And so I really am grateful for you spending the time here on the program today, Ben, so that we can help raise the level of awareness among consumers. And hopefully this will lead to Congress having a conversation about this to the point of legislation long before we get to 2035.
Yeah, that's the hope. And I thank you for all the work that you're doing with your show and with the campaign to raise awareness. And hopefully we'll get some action, if not in this administration, then hopefully in the next one.
That's Ben Ritz, the director of the Center for Funding America's Future at the Progressive Policy Institute. You can learn more about what we're doing to solve the Social Security crisis at our website, fundingourfuture.us. I'm Rick Edelman. You're listening to The Rick Edelman Show. 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-752-6742.